Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories. This is Katie.
And this is Julia.
And we're continuing on in our Advent series, where we're just gathering a few family members here and there to talk about those elements of Advent that we love, we want to celebrate amidst kind of the angst and expectation that we feel as we prepare for the coming of Jesus. But we've been talking about hope, and we are going to be talking about joy and love. But today we're going to talk about peace with one of my absolute favorite family members ever. And that is my brother, Tom Flaherty. Tommy, welcome.
So glad to be here, guys.
Yay.
Tom is kind of one of our official he's of She Speaks Stories.
Yeah. Definitely one of our favorite he's for sure.
Definitely a favorite. So, Tom, thanks for coming on today. And we're really just kind of lobbing it out to our guests without any kind of preconceived script or anything. Just what does that concept mean to you at Advent? So peace, what does peace resonate? How does that resonate with you or make you think of during this Advent season?
So if there's ever been a time that we need peace, it's right now. Mm-hmm. With all of the wars and the political stuff and the stuff that's happening in the public schools, and it feels like everything is shaking around us, the whole subject of peace is so central to why Christ came and what Christ does in us. And so when you guys asked me to speak on peace, I was just thrilled. And so so I want to start by reading Isaiah chapter 9. This is 9, 6, and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So this is the promise of peace. This is what Advent is. Advent is preparing for Jesus's coming, and this promise comes to Isaiah, and in Isaiah 2 he says there's going to be a great light that is going to come into our darkness, into a land walking in darkness. There is going to be a great light, and we don't know what the light is until verse 6. The light is going to be a child that is born to us, a son that is given to us. And one of his names is going to be the Prince of Peace. And of his government or his kingdom and of his peace, they will always be increasing, it says. And then this is just amazing. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. That this is not a conditional promise. This is not if people are good or if we do enough or if we do our part. No, this is God's own zeal. He is going to bring this great light into the world. It is going to be in the form of a child that is born, and one of his names is going to be Prince of Peace. And of his kingdom and of his peace, it will be ever increasing. This is the promise that was given 700 years before Christ, that to the human race, that however dark it gets, however bad it gets, there is a great light coming into the darkness, and he's going to bring peace to the human race. So interesting, in Luke chapter 2, when the shepherds come, or the angels come to the shepherds, here's what they say to them. This is verse 10. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day." That, remember what the light is going to be. A child will be born, a son will be given. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Just a couple things about this. First, that this promised, this child is coming, not just to everyone. It's good news of great joy for everyone, but also to you shepherds, for unto you personally is born Christ, that this a Savior's been born to you, that there is a personalization of this son that is born, this child is given. He's not just born for everybody, he's born for us individually. Amazing. And his name will be Christ the Lord. And of course, Isaiah had prepared us that Messiah, this child that was going to be born, his name was going to be Mighty God. And so they say that the angel says to the shepherds, this is Christ the Lord. This is going to be God in the flesh. And he's coming to bring peace to the earth with human beings with whom he is pleased. Now you ask yourself this question, how could God be pleased with the human race? We have made a mess of everything. His own people are always under judgment. It seems like the human race is always going as far away from him as possible. How could God possibly be pleased with the human race? Well, here is the mystery. Sin only separated us from his presence. It never separated us from his love. God never stopped loving the human race. God's plan from the very beginning, from even before the creation, the foundation of the world, he knew about sin. He knew how this would come to pass. And his love was going to send a Savior. His love was going to come into our darkness and be a light, not just for the whole world, but for each one of us individually. To us, a child has been born. This was the promise of peace. And then we, as this thing unfolds, we will see that this is all about a sacrifice that will bring peace. The problem with the human race was way worse than the Jewish people anticipated, especially the leadership of the Jews. They had pictured Messiah as being this God-like person, but still a person, right, that would be mighty, that would be majestic, that would rally Israel to fight and to bring justice to the nations, and we would wipe out all the evil in the world, and those that lived in righteousness would now dwell in peace because Messiah would put Israel at the head of the nations. And this is what they were looking for. This is what the promises were. The throne of David is an earthly throne. They want Messiah. He's going to be one of David's descendants. He's going to be awesome, and he's going to be great, and he's going to wipe out all of our enemies. Well, they underestimated how bad the problem was. It turns out the problem of evil wasn't like the Romans or the bad Jews, or the, it turned out that the problem of evil ran through every single human heart. And that if God was just going to wipe out evil, that we would all be wiped out. And so the problem is way worse than they had anticipated. And the solution was way more dramatic, shockingly dramatic than anyone could have anticipated. The solution was that God himself would slip into the human race in disguise, that he would not come to a palace in pride. He would come to a manger in humility. He would be born to the poor. And, and at his birth would not be trumpets and kings and priests and prophets, but the only ones invited to the birth would be these shepherds.
Hey friends, Julia here. Hey, did you know that She Speaks Stories has a newsletter? Yeah, we do. To subscribe to it, just head over to our website, shespeaksstories.com. We are also on socials, so you can find us on Facebook and Instagram by just searching She Speaks Stories. We post and share all kinds of fun things. So following us is a great way to stay connected and updated on all of that fun. We just love our story community, and we hope you can join in on the sharing of stories because, as you know, we say all the time, stories change lives.
And these are very unique shepherds. Bethlehem is within 5 miles of Jerusalem. All of the fields around Jerusalem were used to raise sheep, not for wool, but for sacrifice. They were raised because everybody would come to Jerusalem for Passover. They needed over a million sheep just for Passover, just because you had to have an unblemished sacrifice. So they, of course, that was what was going on when Jesus turns over the tables. They're coming to get their sacrifices, to buy their sacrifices, so that, because for one thing, it's inconvenient to bring animals that far, and you have to have an approved animal anyway. And so, so these fields are being used. These shepherds are called rabbinic shepherds. They are raising the lambs for sacrifice.
Wow.
And so how beautiful that they would be the ones, the only ones invited. They are watching over day after day, night after night. They're watching over the sacrificial lambs. And they are the only ones that are invited to come to behold the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. They come to behold the one who every other lamb that has been sacrificed has been pointing to. They had to do it again and again and again because the lambs of animals could, and the blood of animals could not remove sin. It could only cover it from year to year to year to year. But they were all pointing. They were all waiting for the one that would come. John the Baptist recognizes him as the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. So
that's amazing. I didn't know that. I had no, I knew that they were shepherds, and I knew shepherds were like the low class. So I was like, that's kind of nice of Jesus to, like, you know, demonstrate as he's coming in humbly to bring in, like started off really humble. But I did not know that their purpose was to raise these sheep, and then he'd be the one to kind of, yeah, I don't know, like, not, they wouldn't have a job.
Isn't it amazing?
He would.
Isn't it amazing that God would have shepherds come and watch over the lamb that would be sacrificed?
Yes.
Forever.
So powerful. Julia, I didn't know that either until I went to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem, and the guy that was narrating for us, he, and telling us the story, and Tommy, he said everything that you said, and my mind was like, oh my goodness. But one thing I'll never forget, he said, when they wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes And he said he hates other translations because they just say cloths. He said swaddling clothes were what the shepherds out in those fields would use to wrap the hooves of the lambs, because they had to be spotless. They had to be clean.
Oh.
And they were very specific for sacrificial lambs. So this will be a sign unto you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Oh, they knew
what this baby is going to be, a sacrifice, a sacrificial lamb. And I mean, everybody just got
chills
because it deepens the meaning of everything. But Tom, we didn't mean to interrupt.
No. And so I just think it's so important to understand Jesus and why he came, that ultimately he did not come to teach, even though he was the greatest teacher of all time. He did not come to be a good example for us, although he was the greatest example of all time. Jesus came into the world to die. Here's Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Now here's why he came. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Jesus came to bring peace between us and God, the human race and God. He came to take our punishment. So everything that was against us, that made us enemies of God, that through this perfect sacrifice of Jesus's blood, through Christ, we could be at peace with God. So here's Romans chapter 4. It says that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This was how God made peace with the human race, that he took all of our sins, all of the hostility that we had, that he had as a holy God against sin, and he put all of this on the cross, and Jesus came to bring peace to the human race. That God, in his love, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We can have peace with God now through Christ. So first there was this promise of peace. Then there was this sacrifice of peace. And then, and this is my last thought on it, is the presence of peace. So here is John 14, 27. And I want to read it to you. I don't want to get it wrong. Here it is. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So Jesus came to give us his peace. He is called the God of all peace three times. Romans 16, 20, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, Hebrews 13, 20, may the God of peace, may the God of peace. He is the God of peace. God cannot give us peace without giving us himself. Jesus came to give us not just forgiveness of sins and peace in this relationship, but then a step further, he gives us his own presence. That God's plan was to unite us to himself, that we would actually experience the presence of peace. So here's what Jesus says in Romans, in John 16, 33. So this is really in the same speech. He says this. He says, in the world, he says, I have said these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So he gives one guarantee and one option. Here's the guarantee. In the world, you're going to have trouble. This world is going to be filled with trouble. In me, you may have peace. I have come that you might have peace within the trouble of the world. The winds and the waves, Jesus said, are going to come to every life. It's not that if you become a Christian, the winds and the waves won't hit your life anymore. No, as long as you're in this world, you're going to have trouble. The winds and the waves, the difficulties of this life are going to hit you. But Jesus came to bring peace in the storm. Now, this is very interesting because the reason why the Jewish leadership rejected him is because he didn't do everything Messiah was going to do. Messiah was supposed to bring worldwide peace. And of course, every Miss America says, what do you want? World peace. We want world peace. Yeah. Well, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, yeah, I am here to bring world peace, and that's going to come, but that's not coming to my second coming.
Yeah.
In the current time, not only will there not be world peace, but I'm leaving you in a world that's going to have false Christs, false prophets. There's going to be wars and rumors of war. I'm letting the selfishness of man go. There's still going to be a curse on creation. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famines. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be spiritual darkness. I'm letting spiritual darkness rule. So you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. You're even going to be killed during this time. This is the time we are currently in. We are in a time of tremendous trouble in the world, and Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to bring world peace, and he's going to judge the nations, but that's not the time we're in right now. We're in a time of tremendous anxiety in the nations. Men's hearts will fail them for fear, it says in Matthew 24. And so here's the plan right now. God says, I am going to, in the midst of world trouble and darkness, I am going to bring my peace to you. I'm not just going to bring you my peace. It is going to increase in your life. I'm going to teach you how to walk in my peace. You are going to bring my peace. My peace I give you. When he said my peace, oh my, they had seen this peace. They had seen Jesus stand up in the midst of a storm and say, peace be still. And all of a sudden, Jesus changes the environment like a thermostat. Like, boom, Jesus says peace. And all of a sudden, peace starts multiplying. And all of a sudden, everything calms. They get to the other store, and there's the other shore, and there's the garrison demoniac. And he's just filled with angst and wrestlings, and no one can even control him. And once again, that thermostat of Jesus's peace starts going out, and this man comes to peace and gets into his right mind. And Jesus said, here's the plan. Here's the plan, guys. One day I'm going to sit on David's throne. I'm going to bring worldwide peace. But right now, my kingdom is coming, not outwardly as you were hoping. It is coming inwardly. I'm bringing my kingdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. My kingdom is here now, and it's in you. And of the increase of his kingdom and of his peace, there will be no end. God, what God is wanting in his people is he wants them to receive peace and then to grow in peace, grow in his presence. He's made us thermostats. So the difference, of course, between a thermostat and a thermometer is the thermometer just becomes whatever the weather is around it. It measures the weather. So like in the boat, the wind and the waves are blowing, and so the disciples are all thermometers. Now their hearts are troubled. Their hearts are fearful because they're in terrifying circumstances. And Jesus is this thermostat Jesus is he's asleep, yeah, for crying out loud in the boat. He's asleep. He is a thermostat. He refuses to be affected by all of the circumstances and the temperature of world events. Peace be still. And his peace starts coming. And then he says to his disciples, my peace, not as the world gives. The world will only give you peace when all the problems are solved. That's why the world is never at peace. He says, my peace transcends understanding. You don't need, the world doesn't have to be doing anything for you to be at peace. Right. I am giving you my peace. So there's a gate that we all have that you can open. He says, don't let your heart be troubled and nor let it be fearful. You decide. My presence is there. This is for believers. The only believers have this option. You may have peace. You decide which gate is going to open. Am I going to open the fear gate and the troubled gate? And I can live as a Christian with a troubled, fearful heart. I can be a thermometer in this world. I can be just as anxious, just as nervous, just as fearful, just as worried as everybody else. Or I can shut those gates and open up this gate called the presence of God. Mm-hmm. So Brother Lawrence wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. Ooh. And here's my challenge to us all this Christmas. If I had a title for this message, it would be Increasing Peace. That God wants us to learn how to deepen his peace in our lives, deepen his presence, to walk in his presence. So here is the secret to growing in peace. Okay? It's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. This is his tangible presence. This guard, our hearts and our minds were created to need a guard. We were created for this, guys. We were created to walk in the presence of God, but we're not good at it. We have to learn how. I love the title Practicing the Presence. Practice, there's never stress in practice. It means I'm not going to be great at it right away. I'm going to grow in it. I'm going to work on it. And so here's how it works. Be anxious for nothing. Instead, make your requests known to God. Now, what are we supposed to ask God for? Whatever's making you anxious. Are you anxious in your relationships? Then give him. Are you anxious because of your health? Are you anxious because of your finances? Are you anxious because of Israel? Are you anxious because of the economy? Are you anxious because of the public schools? Are you anxious because of the political elections? What is making you anxious? There's nothing too big and there's nothing too small. If it's making you anxious, God cares about it. Peter says it this way, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So for whatever is making you anxious, make that request to God. Now, here's where I think people lose it. A lot of times people, what they basically do in their prayer time is they worry in front of God. They're worried. Yes. So they tell God they're worried, and then they leave just as worried as before they came.
Yes.
Because here's the key. And I think it's interesting that Thanksgiving is coming, and I don't know when you play this podcast, but we're close to Thanksgiving now. The key is with Thanksgiving, make your requests to God with Thanksgiving. What does that mean? It means this. First thing you do is you thank God for everything he's done in the past. You've been in this situation before. You've been in similar situations before. Thank God for what he's done. Thank God for his faithfulness and how he's helped you in the past and how he's there. Thank God, secondly, for who he is. Oh my, God, thank you that you care. Thank you that there is a God. Thank you that I'm not alone. Yeah. Emmanuel, God with us. You see me. Everybody else might not see me, but you see me. You care. You love me. This is amazing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now you're ready for the new thing. Now you're ready to say, now in light of what you've done in the past in faithfulness, in light of who you are, in light of the promises you make that I'm thanking you for, here is my request. You are now filled with, you're giving it not just in worry, you're giving it now in faith. Thanksgiving is the key. Thanksgiving brings you into the presence of God. It says this, this is Psalm 100. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Thanksgiving is the sacrifice that's so easy to make. It really just takes a little time and a little reflection. But I'll tell you what, it unlocks the presence of God and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So here's what prayer is supposed to be like. Okay, have you ever gone to the dry cleaners? The reason why you go to the dry cleaners is because you have a garment that is valuable to you. It's so precious that you don't want to ruin it in your own washer and dryer. Okay. You bring it to this special person and you tell them how special it is. You tell them what's wrong with it, and then they reach out their hand to take it. You give it to them and they give you this little ticket. Okay. So you walk out with your ticket. That ticket says, and you carry it around with you. You put it in your wallet. You put it in your purse. You carry that around. And every time you see that ticket, you're reminded that someone else is working on that which is most precious to you.
Oh, yeah.
You're going around doing your stuff, and somebody else is working on this for me. And then when I go back, I just show them the ticket, and it's all done. Somebody else did the work. This is what prayer is supposed to be like. But what often happens with people is they bring their precious stuff, their children, the nation, the their finances, their health. They bring it to God, and it's precious. And God's like, okay, all right, give it to me. And they're like, no, it's too precious. And they walk out with the same garment they brought to get dry clean. Now, I'll tell you what, you're never going to get that thing cleaned if you got it with you still. You want to get that thing clean, you got to leave it. You got to let go of it. You got to let go of it, and you got to take the ticket. The ticket is God. God will give you a ticket right now. You don't have to wait to get a ticket. You, while you pray, you can have the peace of God, which passes and transcends all understanding. Why? So now you can go out in the world, even though your problems are not all solved, and you can be, you can be that thermostat for others. And people can say, people that know your problems, they know what you're going through. Oh my, how can you have so much peace? You're going through cancer. Your kids have fallen away. Your kids are, how could you possibly have peace? And then you get to tell about Jesus. Oh, I got I'm not carrying that.
Oh my gosh.
No. See, here's what God care. But if we try to carry, here's what's happening when we're carrying. The government is now on our shoulders. We're being the savior. We're carrying. The government's not on our shoulders, guys. It's on Jesus' shoulders. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm meek and stuff. He can carry all the judgments. And you're not the judge and you're not the savior. He'll carry that. And here's what we get
here. We're having a little stuttering with the internet.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to recalibrate a second.
We get to carry his peace. And we get to walk around as so
you back. Yes,
are you guys there or not?
We had some stuttering just a little bit towards the end with the internet, but our editor, like,
if you just say the last three sentences again, then they can cut out the glitching. But I want to make sure you're back before you start that again.
I was going to do a prayer as well. So,
okay.
Yeah, just say like the kind of the last three there, Tommy.
Yeah.
Okay. So should I leave and come back? She's going to edit this anyway, right? So if I re-say something, she'll be able to edit it?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So God is calling us to care without caring.
Gotcha.
The government is on to lay down all of those things that we really can't clean up anyway. We lay them down in prayer with thanksgiving. We care so much that we bring it to the one that can actually do something about it. Like the refrigerator magnet says, give God your troubles. He's going to be up all night anyway. And we get the ticket. We get the ticket of his peace where we know that he's working on whatever we gave him. So here's how I want to end today. One of the God of pieces is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and it says this: may the God of peace sanctify you or set you apart, spirit, soul, and body, that you might be blameless until the coming of Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will also do it. He's going to do all of the work. The God of peace is going to set us apart with his peace, with his very presence, spirit, soul, and body. And of course, the word peace in Hebrew is shalom, and it's a bigger word than peace. It means well-being. It's just a bigger than peace. That Jesus died for our shalom. And so what I want to do for all of us to close this is to pray for us. And
yes, please.
For all of the listeners, what are you anxious about right now? What relationship, what difficulty, what pain, what future thing are you worried about that Jesus wants to come and give us his peace so that we can be at peace and be his thermostats all this Christmas season? Mm-hmm. So would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for each one of your children. Each one that's listening, that you died for, that you love, that our sin never separated us from your love. You've loved us, and in your love, a child was born for us who was actually your son, God in the flesh, that died and came in to be a sacrifice for my sins and for everybody's sins so that we could have peace with you. So Lord, I just pray for anybody that is not at peace with you, anybody that is not sure that they're right with God. Jesus, it says you stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears your voice and opens the door, that you will come in. And so if that is you, spiritually, you are not at rest because you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're forgiven. You're not sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven. This is why Jesus came. He purchased a gift with his blood for you to have. That gift is called eternal life, but you have to receive it. So if that's you, pray something like this. Lord, I hear you knocking on my door. I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe that sacrifice was not just for the whole world, but it was for me. Lord, I open my heart by faith. I ask you to come in and save me and wash me and cleanse me and forgive me. I receive right now your gift of eternal life. Thank you for hearing this prayer. And then for whatever you're anxious about, Father, we give you every anxiety about relationships that aren't right, about finances that are not here right now yet, of any physical condition, the present symptoms and future surgeries or things we're fearing about in the future. God, we give you every anxiety, and we thank you that you are good, that you love us, that you hear us, that you're a healer, you're a provider, and God, that you are our peace. So, Father, would you take all of these things? We think of our world and what's going on in Israel and in the inflation in our economy and the coming political season and how we've been ripped apart as a nation. Lord, in Jesus' name, we give all of that to you. And we say, Jesus, would you come and bring your peace? Bring your peace to people all over this world, God. Would you bring wisdom to all of our leaders to settle things so that the great harvest of souls that you want will come in? God, thank you for Katie and Julia. Thank you for She Speaks Stories. I pray for your peace on them and on your continued work, on their your continued work through them, God. May this be a thermostat of your peace in this world, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what. One reason you're one of my favorite speakers, you can take really deep, profound truths and put them in a way that our brain skin can wrap around that. I will never go to the dry cleaner without thinking about leave it. But just the simplicity right now of you expounding upon peace on earth. What does that really mean when there is no peace on earth right now? And as Christmas approaches, we're going to all be singing those songs. And I mean, I wonder how many of us stop to really think, what does that really mean when I say peace on earth? Or if you listen to Handel's Messiah, when you first opened and you were reading Isaiah, I just wanted to burst out singing.
Yeah.
Unto us a child is born. But do we stop? You know, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. What does that really mean? What kind of peace? How can I have peace when there's just all this? So I loved the way you just explained it and didn't just leave us with a theological head knowledge, but here's how you practice it. Here is how you enter into his presence and practice it. I loved that. And I was listening to a podcast earlier today where the guy was talking about prayer. And he said, our problem oftentimes with prayer, we don't really want to do it because we have a false image in our head of who God really is. So Tommy, I loved how you talked about the compassion, the love that God has for all of us. Because again, that verse that says he came to bring peace to those on earth that he was pleased with.
Right.
And that can leave you thinking, well, that's
right. Not me. That peace is going to go to somebody else because it's certainly not me.
That leaves me out. He's certainly not that pleased with me. Yeah. So I guess that's what that means. And then that's why I don't see peace on my little part of earth. But the idea that we get these false narratives of who God really is, and we're held captive. It's like a stronghold. Yeah. And if you do not have the right image of who God really is and how compassionate, loving, graceful, merciful, kind for you individually, why would you want to go to him in prayer?
Right.
Why would you want to spend time? And then if we, or we're like, okay, well, he's love and grace and mercy, therefore I can do anything I want and I just go to him and he needs to dispense. Well, that's a false image of who he really is too. And then it was an interesting podcast. Julia, we'll put it in the
notes. Notes.
On what really is prayer. And do we really believe in it? So, Tommy, I love that you, in talking about peace and how you really appropriate that peace that's not of the world, you literally talked about entering the presence of God through prayer. And truthfully, we can all learn, grow, and deepen in our prayer lives what it really means to sit in his presence. So,
yeah, and I feel like it makes it obtainable. I think sometimes we think, at least I think, oh, that person is so spiritual. That's why they have peace. Peace is for those that are, you know, on the hierarchy of their faith and all that stuff. But when you make it so simple, that gate that you are given a choice, do you want to open that? All it takes is giving it to God and practicing that. Like, you don't have to be good at it. You just have to be consistent in it and want to. And he loves that, and he'll honor that. So it makes it, it's for everyone. It's obtainable for even people that don't know how they can even do it. Any level of your walk with the Lord, you can have peace. That's just beautiful.
And what I didn't get to say at the end, which I should have, but it's fine, is in God's zeal, he didn't just promise that Jesus would come. He promised that peace would increase, that his passion, that we increase in peace, that we increase in shalom. So this isn't even something we're producing. God is going to produce it in us. This is his purpose. His own zeal is going to make his kingdom grow in us. It's his own grace. He who promised is faithful, and he will also do it. And to me, wow, God, all I have to do is just get in the process, and you are more into this than I am.
And, yeah.
The zeal of the Lord will perform it and make it all come to pass.
Oh,
talk about, and that ties back in with the hope we talked about last time. That is our hope. Weird. And to have that peace. And then, of course, that's what brings so much joy. And we'll talk about that. And then making us people of love, just like God is love. So love, joy, peace, and hope. Listeners, we love you. We're out of time. But I don't know if you can say happy Advent. But let's say, let's have this Advent season really do a work in the layers of our inner soul and teach us to hunger and thirst after his presence, to push away all the demands of the world, all the anxieties, and take time. If peace is important to us, we will make the time to pursue the Prince of Peace. So let's do that this Advent season. And love you. And we'll see you next time. Tom, thank you so much.
A pleasure. Bless you, ladies.